that we started some weeks ago. It seems like it's been a long, long time, but winning the lost, I think is what we called it. I like the passage of Scripture that Brother Lamas used in Matthew 14:19, the feeding of the thousands, and how he blessed and he broke, and then he gave to the disciples. Everybody say disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. Praise God. They didn't say, oh, great. It's just enough for us. This will feed us. No. They found through the miraculous power of God that there was enough for thousands. Praise God. That's we read that, and I think it's hard for us to comprehend that there were 5,000 men there and women and children. So very easily, more than 10,000. And 5 loaves and 2 fishes given to the disciples, and they in turn gave to the multitude. That's what God can do. That's what God wants you to do. Praise God. Thank the Lord we can be involved in his miracles. You may be seated. Now, winning souls. Winning is the right word. Winning. We use that in terms of negotiating. In sports, in legal terms, and certainly in warfare. Win. That's what you have to do. You have to win. Yeah. Praise God. And we know, and looking at the back of the book, the end of the book, the Lord wins in spectacular fashion. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Praise God. And likewise, because they fulfill those characteristics, they are going to win also. So win is the right word. Jesus didn't lose the war. It may have appeared that way as he hung on the cross. It may have seemed like the end, but thank God, he came forth conqueror over death, over hell, over the grave, over the devil, praise God, over sin, praise God. And he has the keys of hell and of death, and the keys to help you win souls. He told Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom. And Peter was the one who preached to the Jews in Acts chapter 2. He helped pray with the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. And he was there when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. All three categories of people that were recognized in the Bible, Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles. So he used the keys very effectively to open the door of salvation to the kingdom. Praise God. And likewise, the Lord has the keys for you. Certainly, what Peter preached and what he saw happen is what is still happening today. There are still people repenting, according to the Word of God, still getting baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and still receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Praise God. It's still happening. The power of God is still at work. The keys are still opening the door. Amen. But individually, in your situations, in your schedules, in your time frame, the Lord has keys for you. Amen. Now, they're certainly not going to displace what the keys are that Peter used. We're not trying to displace that. What I'm saying is there are ways that the Lord is going to work on your behalf that you are going to be able to teach a Bible study. You are going to be able to reach out to souls. You are going to be able to testify. You are going to be able to witness. Praise God. That's what you got the Holy Ghost for. Amen. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Praise God. We thank the Lord for the exuberant expressions of worship that the Holy Ghost can put on us. Clapping our hands, jumping up and down. Amen. Walking around the auditorium, dancing in the altar. All of these things that are so exciting. And so much a part of the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And we have to give expression to it somehow. And our feet won't stay still. Our hands won't stay still. Our voices get raised in praise to the Lord. That's part of what the Holy Ghost does. But the power is for you to witness. Praise God. So, the true way to win souls is through love. Through love. Jude 22, let's take a look at what the scripture says here and the comparison that is made sometimes in how we reach out to souls. Now, the Bible uses the term winning souls also in Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. Wise enough to know there are keys, wise enough to know there are ways that the Lord can use, and ways that the Lord can use you. And so, Jude 22 says, of some, have compassion. Well, of course, with all, have compassion. And make a difference with extra compassion. Just love that is patient, love that is kind, love that beareth all things. You know, you got to go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, God, help me to love the way you want me to. Because there's a great deal of patience that's got to be involved. You've got to have that. And remember that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses. He's not one that would condemn, you know, after the first mistake. He recognizes there are weaknesses in our nature, and he reaches out with his spirit to help us. So a tender heart, a sympathizing spirit. But then that passage goes on in Jude 23, and this is where wisdom becomes very important, and keys become very important. Others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. That's getting drastic now. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. See, that's that. There's no namby-pamby stuff going on here. There's just a recognition that this is not a game. We're not winning a game. We're winning souls, and sometimes it's got to be very drastic. A modern translation says, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. So, show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. So, we recognize, okay, that's got to be my purpose, that's got to be my goal, that's got to be what I identify with. Amen. Jesus said, you'll be fishers of men. They had obviously techniques that they used with their nets, and to them, a great number of fish was 153. That's about where we lose count when we're dip netting reds. And it can get pretty crazy on the boat, and fish flopping everywhere, three nets going at a time or two nets going at a time, and just pulling them in left and right. Well, there's a technique, there's a way, there's a location, there's depth, there's all of those things that you have to consider. You're fishing for a king salmon, you can't just throw any old lure over the side and troll at any old speed and any old depth. It's got to be where they are. And so your method doesn't change the message, but it shows wisdom. And it operates in the keys that God has given. Let's just name a few of the methods of witnessing. Tracts are still good old ways of reaching out. And we have a selection of them downstairs. And in Africa, they're called paper preachers. Paper preachers. They get passed around because people like to practice their English. And so they like to be able to try that. In fact, you can use a tract as a short Bible study. Just go through it and look at the scriptures and see what is being presented there. Amen. Remember the revelation that I told Sister Sherry gave me. Sunday school teachers are here early. They can't bring kids to church. Kids aren't going to come at 9:15, 9:30. And so the rest of us bring them at 9:45 or 9:55 or whatever is going to work. We can't expect the Sunday school teachers to do it. They have to prepare. They have to get ready. They have to put everything in place so that when the children arrive, it's all ready to go. And we have to be the ones, the rest of the church has to be the ones to bring them and take them home. Special days are great. You know, on Easter, you gave out treat bags. We weren't here to see how that went, but I trust it went very well. And we have special times and things to do. A kids' day. Our next kids' day is July 9th. Going to capitalize on camp meeting and the time that they spend there, and then our VBS and kids' day. Those are special times. We're reaching for those kids. It's not just fun, not just games, not just activities and treats. There's a purpose, a method to our madness. And that method is trying to get a hold of kids, and we follow up with the parents. Now, the Bible studies. I'll ask Brother Levi to explain how he put the Exploring God's Word application, or not an app, but the Bible study, how he put it on his iPad here in just a second. And then when you go back in, bro, if you can you access the website and bring the Bible study up and put it on the screen? Search for Truth is a good old Bible study, and it's been redone, and it's called Search for Truth 2 now. And very colorful, very very thorough, very well presented, and it's very helpful. In fact, there's a Bible that you can get with Search for Truth 2 in it. Yeah, could you bring it out, Mike? And I think the publishing house now has an edition that has Exploring God's Word in it. The charts are actually in the Bible, in the pages. And you'll see here in a moment how the Search for Truth one is done. Should be right on the desk. Go ahead and start right at the beginning there. There's several charts, and obviously young eyes would work better with it. But if you have your reading glasses on, you should be able to do it. And you could just sit with somebody and go right through the study, and you have your Bible there, actually, and you'd be able to go right through the pages, the scriptures, and so on. And it's right there with you. And this is only $30. This one's brand new. Somebody, that's an idea. Somebody that teaches a Bible study could utilize this very simply and follow through page by page, point by point, and have it all in place. Okay, now, Brother Levi, tell us how you downloaded that onto your iPad. All the devices have this potential now. Okay. Okay. You got it? Very, very simple to find. Sister Holly has it up on her iPad, and Into His Marvelous Light. You just scroll through it, and it's all there. It's all there. The only thing they can't mark on there, like the booklet. Okay, but go ahead and bring the Exploring God's Word up, too, if you would. Remember, you go to sterlingpentecostalchurch.com. You go, the page will come up, and you go to Grow. And you click on the link Grow, and then the Bible studies are under that link. Okay? It's coming. Now, what I wanted to show you is it's in color. Brother Bartlett found it in color, not just in black and white, but the beautiful color is there as well. Brother Cliff? You can do your iPad and so on large. Oh, you can, for the Bible study, Exploring God's Word, there's a chart that is 17 by 20, something like that. It's a big chart, yeah, and that's available. Most of us use the chart that is this size, and I have it on PowerPoint on my computer, and you keep pressing the space bar, and scripture comes up, and so on. So, yeah, the one that you completed, yeah, had that. Okay, you have that page? So there it is, nice and colorful, and each page is there, and it's real simple to bring up. You don't even have to load it on your device. You can use the website. Okay? In most places in town, the coffee shops, the fast food people, they all have real fast servers, internet connections, and so you can go real fast to them. Okay, if you're at my house, you're still on DSL. It's real slow, but here and of course other places. So I encourage you, definitely get involved in teaching the Bible study. And remember, Brother Sanders would read scripture. If you didn't want to use the charts and you just want to take them through the plan of salvation, You read Acts 2:38 and you ask them, what does that mean to you? What does that say to you? And they'll have, of course, have their focus on one or the other, and then you begin to elaborate even more so, be able to work with it that way. And if you don't feel comfortable giving a Bible study through the charts, get somebody to help you with it. Get someone to share with you. And you know, two heads are better than one, so to speak. And you'll perhaps feel all the more comfortable that way. And I'm sure somebody would help. I'll help you. And then you'll become able to present it yourself. And don't worry about the questions. Tell them right from the start. You can ask any question you want, just as long as I can answer, I don't know. There are lots of things I don't know, but I'll find out. Amen. Sister Becca. Okay. It'll work. If you've got the courage to get a Bible study, we've got the courage to go with you. Amen. We'll make time, and it will work out well. Praise God. And there's lots and lots of Bible studies. There's more and more that have come out that are the a booklet Bible study for 1 hour. But to me, the extended Bible study, the weekly Bible study, is the way to get them anchored, because you're doing two things. You're establishing fellowship, and you're getting them established in the faith, in truth, in the Word of God. And there is so much in those Bible studies that it's amazing. Now, another thing I have realized is important is I do not try to finish the Bible study in one setting anymore, the lesson. I don't try to do all five charts. If we only get through two charts, that's fine. And we pick up next time and keep going. There's just so much that is in there, as I said. It's a challenge to get it all in. And it's a shame, actually, to pass over some things that you can emphasize, particularly if their interest is piqued and you want to spend time with on that subject. Prophecy, for example, or the things that are implicated in prophecy. It's just amazing to be able to work with that. Okay? Any questions about Bible study? Yes. Light for Living is real close to Search for Truth, too. Very, very close. And it had a lot of stuff. In fact, David Gilbert went through that one. We went through Exploring God's Word. He said, you know, I've already received the Spirit of Christ. I was already baptized into Christ when I was 7 years old. He didn't get it. Didn't get it. Okay, we got another Bible study. And he commented to somebody, yeah, I went through that one too. It's kind of the same thing. I wanted to say, because you didn't get it the first time. So, Light for Living is a good one. But like I said, I think Search for Truth 2 is almost the same thing. Yes.
It's not actually a question, but I was going to say that my husband and I have often ended a Bible study with a question that we couldn't
Uh huh.
And that opened up the door for another meeting.
Sure.
So if you would set up, if you give me, you know, 2 days to research this, you can get back together. And
yeah. Don't be afraid of the questions. Don't feel like you're inadequate. You know as much or more as any confessing Christian in the world. You know more about the Scripture, sad to say, than some preachers do. You spend more time in the Word than some preachers do. So you're sufficient. You and the Holy Ghost will get it done. Amen. And that power is what you can rely on. Amen. Sister Becca. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. A lot of good things. You remember probably Brother Woodward being at our camp meeting and teaching so very thoroughly and very powerfully. And he puts his notes and his lessons and his messages on his site, and you're very welcome to use them. It's a good study, a good opportunity to study on your own and then certainly be able to share that with others as well. Brother Mike?
I was just going to mention, like, when you were talking about you and the Holy Ghost going to get through Bible study, it's a great time, or it's a great learning experience to flow, learning how to flow in the Holy Ghost teaching Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're going to start to, you'll get questions asked, and you'll all of a sudden know the answer.
Right.
Quicken you in something, and that's a good way to learn how to flow in the Holy Ghost. Translates to working the altar together.
We pray and ask God to help. Ask God to quicken your mind and your heart and to help you to recall Scripture and so on. He's not going to be reluctant to answer that. He's not going to say, well, you should study harder, then you would know. No, he is going to quicken your mind. He is going to supply answers and Scriptures and so on. You'll be thrilled with how it feels to have a Scripture that you hadn't even thought of, and bang, there it is. And the Lord, through His Spirit, helps you to both recall and present something that's very timely, and that's a key. See? That's what we're talking about. And the Holy Ghost can use you in that way. And naturally, that then applies into other areas. And you get used to hearing the voice of God, that still small voice, then you can operate even more in what God wants you to do. Praise God. Now, very practical things, very practical. When you're teaching a Bible study, when you're witnessing, you're testifying, please have good hygiene and appearance. Make sure that you brushed your teeth and you're using mints or cough drops or Tic Tacs or something. Make sure you've used deodorant that morning and you've sprayed some cologne on. Not overpoweringly, but just so you smell good. Dress neat. Dress modest. Because that's a witness right there. Your appearance is a witness. Now, spiritual doesn't mean shabby. Doesn't mean shabby. Holiness doesn't mean dressed like a hag. No, that's not humility. You're representing the King of Kings. You're representing the one who said, "Let there be light," and everything is contingent on those four words. That's how powerful He is. That's who you're an ambassador for. Paul said, we're ambassadors for Christ. Doesn't give God glory for you to be shabby or haggy. Oh. Be friendly. Smile. Praise God. And because it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Not just when we're hopping around, dancing around, but all the time. Amen. They won't understand Pentecostal phrases. They won't understand what we're talking about there. You know, so use common words, common phrases, colloquialisms. It's not profanity and not vulgar, but you know, you're still trying to get things across. You're always steering things to a spiritual connection, a spiritual commentary. Amen. Tell your testimony. Amen. You're the only one who has it. Now, everybody else has got the Holy Ghost. Everybody else has been baptized in Jesus' name, you know, who are serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. But they didn't get it the way you did. And they didn't feel what you felt when they got baptized. You have a unique testimony. Praise God. And only you can tell it. Tell what God did for you. And the miracles and the healings you may not have had in your experience, but look at all that are in our church that have had miracles and healings. Tell about it. Praise God. We rejoiced just a few minutes ago about Ketchikan, two receiving the Holy Ghost, a mother and a daughter. Amen. And you can tell about so many other things as well. Sharing scripture doesn't have to be behind a pulpit in a church setting and so on. Like our youth do a great job of sharing scripture. But what we're doing is we're training them to be able to speak to people and be confident in the Word of God, knowledgeable in the Word of God, and have it mean something to them. And not just, this is what Mom believes, this is what Dad preaches, this is what our church stands for. No, what about you? Because they'll pin it on you like that. I don't want to hear what your church says. I don't want to hear what your mom and dad says. I want to know what you believe. And so be ready. Be ready. Praise God. Share scripture. And it can be over coffee. It can be over lunch. It can be in their home, your home, here at the church. Ready to share. Sometimes in the Bible study, you're going through the charts, and they're not comfortable reading out loud. Well, they can't find the scripture. They don't know where John 1:3 is. And so you either reach over and find it for them. If they're not comfortable reading out loud, some people aren't, you go ahead and read. And that's when we said have a partner come along with you and they could be the reader. And you just give them a heads up, you know, we're going to John 1:14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and so on. Could you find John 1:14 for us? And you go on teaching a little bit more and say, okay, read. And that's, you know, that's how you make that work. But then, again, don't be afraid to ask, what does that mean to you? What do you think God was trying to say? And let them glean from the scripture what is there. Praise God. You can do that with a Bible study, or you can do it just with the witnessing, testifying format, which will eventually lead to a Bible study. Okay? Because disciples make disciples. That's what we're about this year. And praise God, we're going to build their experience in the Word of God. And they're not going to discredit their experience. Not going to say, "Oh, you don't have anything. Wait till I tell you about what we have." No, you're not going to do that. You're going to start where they are, and build on what they have from the Lord. Don't tell them what they have to give up to serve the Lord. Tell what they're going to get, what they're going to receive, what they're going to gain. Praise God. Because all of the stuff that they give up, you don't regret. You regret giving up stuff there, Brother Cliff? So much better for what he's gained. Amen. And thank the Lord for the power of the Lord. Share the way of God more perfectly. This is what Aquila and Priscilla and the Word of God did. Apollos was very eloquent. He was mighty in the Scriptures. He could convince that Jesus is the Christ. He knew all of that. But yet he hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name. He hadn't been a follower of John. And he hadn't received the Spirit. So Aquila and Priscilla listened to him. And they could probably hardly wait until he was done. And the crowd was dispersing. And they would walk up to him and say, "That was incredible and wonderful presentation of the Scripture. Can we talk about that a little bit more?" And then they'd begin to expound the way of God more perfectly. Praise God. And somebody would say, "Oh, well, it doesn't say." Well, we know that they were contemporaries, companions of the Apostle Paul. We know that they were fellow laborers with him. And we know that they stood for the same message. It's ludicrous to think that they would change the message. Yeah. Yeah. Paul mentioned them several times in his letters. So obviously, they believed what he believed. Praise God. And they brought forth those kinds of results. They took the time to listen to him, and then they took the time to share with him. And then Apollos really became powerful in being able to convince people about Jesus being the Christ, the Messiah, and what he can do to change life. The power of a changed life. To me, that is a tremendous witness. The power of a changed life. People spend thousands of dollars to try to quit smoking, to try to quit doing drugs, to doing rehab and all of these things. And here the Lord does that for you like that? And you don't tell people about it? Thousands of dollars spent on psychological counseling and so on. Maybe even psychiatric care and all of those things. And then the Lord lifts you out of depression. And you don't think that that's worth telling somebody about? Oh my. Again, remember who you're serving. Remember who you're representing. He's not holding a gun to your head. He's simply saying, "Tell people what I did for you." Praise God. And certainly witness to them of the miracle of salvation. Again, you may not have had a miracle of healing, a miracle of deliverance, but you have had a miracle of salvation. Praise God. The only miracle that's eternal. Healing is going to be reversed eventually. You're going to spend your money up eventually. But salvation goes on forever. Praise God. And that's the one that you want to lift up about the most. The man born blind in John chapter 9 did not have theological answers. They were trying to convince him that Jesus was a sinner. They asked him over and over, what did he do? What did he say? They're just constantly going. But four times he testifies about what happened to him. "I was blind, now I see." And then he came back to it. "One thing I know." He was tired of being badgered and tired of being interrogated. And He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. God doesn't hear sinners. And from the beginning of the world, he said, it's never been heard that a man born blind was made to see. He knew that much, but then he narrowed it down completely. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Praise God. Don't be intimidated. Don't feel like you don't have anything to tell. Praise God. Do the work of God. Now, here's an interesting thing. The Lord told him to go where and wash. Go to the... All right. Why not go to your house and use the basin? Why not go to the well and splash some water on your face? Go to the pool. Obedience brings results. When you obey, God's going to give results. Go and make disciples. When you obey, divine results will be in place. God places a premium, a value on obedience. And certainly that's what we're trying to convince and persuade them to do. Repent. Be baptized. Receive the Holy Ghost. Very, very simple. Very, very straightforward. Uncomplicated. Amen. And something that everyone can do. And then you elaborate on that. You expound on that. And not a whole wagon load, a whole truckload. No, just the basic presentation. And if they have further questions, you answer them. But it works. Praise God. You can win souls. Amen. Exploring God's Word. Makes sense? It makes sense. And what is so unique in starting is Genesis, in starting with Genesis, you'll see Jesus right from the beginning and on all the way through. Jesus again and again, because the whole book's about him. Praise God. And that's who we want to exalt. That's who we want to lift up. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. Praise God. The power of a changed life. Amen. So difficult to argue with. So difficult to disprove. And that's what the man born blind was falling back on over and over. I was blind. Now I see. And they were going to ask his parents because they wanted to make sure it was him. He'd reply, I am. It's me. And his parents were afraid. He's of age, ask him. Afraid of being put out by the Jews. Disfellowshipped. Not allowed to be a part of the synagogue. I'll tell you who I want to belong to. I want to belong to the redeemed. I want to belong to the blood-washed throng. I want to belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Filled with His Spirit and called by His name. Praise God. Let's come and just thank the Lord for what we've received here as far as our salvation, as far as our experience, as far as our knowledge. Let's give praise to Him.